begin the current Tav, Mesechtiskit, and Tav Yud Beis. We begin 8 lines down with the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues quoting from a Mishnah of the previous Tav, and that is we had a machlekes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim regarding if this is the fourth area that have similarities between Gitei Noshim and Shechur Avadim. That is the previous Mishnah, as we pointed out, 3 similarities. Now, regarding the Halacha, if the Adon, the Baal, gives the get to the Shliach, and before the Shliach gets to the woman or to the Eved, could he retract? So everyone agrees regarding the woman, he could retract because it's a chayv, it's a liability for the woman to get divorced because she's going to be losing her support from her husband now. So therefore, the shliach cannot have merited for the woman b'shalay b'fanel, not with her consent. And since he's a shliach lelocha, it's the husband that sent him, so therefore he could retract. However, regarding the eved, is a machlik is Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Rav Meir says he could retract by the eved too, whereas the Chacham said that no, it's totally a schos, it's a merit because the eved is losing nothing by getting divorced, by becoming emancipated from his master. And therefore, actually the shliach could be zeichen and could merit it even before, even without the knowledge of the eved. And therefore, once he has it, the adon, the master, cannot retract. Now, our Mishnah said, in the opinion of the Rabbanan, the reason why it's a schus, shem yirtze shleilazen v'chulu, because if the master wants to, he doesn't have to feed a slave. A wife he has to feed. A slave he doesn't have to feed. So therefore, what is the Eved losing already? The one thing you would say would be being supported, sustenance from his master. But the master doesn't have to support him. So therefore, what's he losing by getting emancipated? Nothing. Actually, he's only gaining his freedom. And therefore, it's a schos, and that's why the master cannot retract. That's the opinion of Rabban. Says the Gemara, Shamet Minah, what we could seemingly infer from this statement of the Chacham in the Mishnah, is a Yachal Rav Loim LeEved, that the master could tell his non-Jewish servant, I say, Imi, work for me, do my work, and I'm not going to feed you. Rather, you go ahead and you go collecting door by door to collect and feed yourself, but I don't have to feed you. Similarly, that's what we see from the Mishnah, because the Mishnah is saying that he doesn't lose anything. Why not? Because he doesn't have to feed him. What do you mean you don't have to feed him? Meaning, similarly, that you can make your Eved work for you, and yet you don't have to feed him. You could say, I'm not feeding you. So therefore, he's losing that. So therefore, it's total schus to become emancipated. I think Mar says, no, what are we talking about to conceptualize how the master could tell him, I'm not feeding you? That would be, in other words, why is the Eved not losing? What do you mean? Doesn't he have to get fed? Yeah, he has to get fed if he's working for the master. But the master could tell him, look, you know what? I'm not interested in supporting you. Now, I can't make you work for me and not support you, but go ahead, support yourself. You're still my Eved. But go ahead and work and find your own work and feed yourself. So the Gemara says, it's not a raya. You could say that it's a schus for the Eved to become freed because the Eved doesn't, the master doesn't have to feed him. But he can't tell him, work for me and still I'm not going to feed you. The way he would be able to tell him is, I'm not feeding you, is, okay, work for yourself and feed yourself. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, but the kavasa gabi isha. But let's look at the parallel. There's 2 cases that the Mishnah discusses. By the woman, we said that you're not allowed to say, I'm not going to feed you. That's why we said by the woman, it's actually a liability, because she's going to be losing her sustenance. Now the question is, seemingly it's the parallel where the case you're describing by the Eved, that it is a schos for him, by the woman, we're saying it's not, that it's a chayfra. Where the amala, seemingly the case, the same thing we'd be talking about, where you tell the wife, see my siyadecha mezen esayich, meaning he's telling his wife, look, it's not like I'm going to take stuff from you, you're going to work, I'm going to take your money, I'm not going to support you. No, that even by an Eved you can't do. But the parallel case is Toma, where he tells his wife, look, you work and you support yourself, I'm not going to support you. Now that the question is, Isha Mai Loi, why is that not appropriate by the wife? Why can't he tell his wife that? Seemingly, you could. That because actually the parallel of why she gets supported by him is because he's getting her earnings. If he says, I'm not going to take your earnings, so then he doesn't have to feed her. So why are you saying by the Eved that he could do that, therefore he doesn't have to feed him? Oh, it's a schos. By the Isha, he can't do that, and therefore it's a liability because she's going to be losing her mezainis. What do you mean? Seemingly the way you describe the procedure by the Eved that he could do, that's actually the same thing by the woman you could do too. You could also tell her, Tzi'i mai sedecha b'mezainis ayich. So why by an Isha is it a chayiv, and by an Eved it's a schos? So that thing more answers, no, Isha b'delei safka. By the woman, what we'd be talking about is that it wouldn't be enough for her to support herself based on the earning that she makes in the job that she's getting. And therefore, what the Mishnah is telling us, he would have to increase her basic needs, and therefore that amount which she has to add on, which she has to supplement, which she wouldn't be able to cover by her own job, that's something she'd be losing by getting divorced, and that's why it's a chayfer. So the Gemara asks, "Even nami b'dloy safek." So then again, the parallel of the cases would be seemingly talking about the same thing by the slave. The slave would be talking about, okay, you can't tell him that you're going to have him work for you and not support him. Fine, support yourself with your own work. But seemingly it's the same type of case where, okay, but he's not covering his needs by the job he's getting. So therefore, seemingly you would have to do the same thing because you can't not make him work and not support him. So I think Gemara says, no, there's a fundamental difference between the Eved and the woman. Avda, a slave, dinoham karse loishavya, that he's not worth the bread that he eats, meaning he's not making enough of what he's producing. His output is not going to cover his intake. Then lamari ulamarti lamaimesbay. Then what does his master and the woman that owns him, what worth, what use do they have for him? Because what do you mean? We're not going to have you as a slave when we have to put in more than we're going to get out of you. So therefore, the halacha actually is by the slave, even if he tells him, go ahead, do your own work, support yourself, he actually does not have to supplement that Eved's income. Rather, he can make him go ahead and collect door to door and supplement your own income. And the reason being is because who's going to force the master to support him and to take a loss by having such an Eved? But that's by an Eved. But by a woman, a wife, that is the condition in the Ksuba. He writes, "Ate yasva bevesi, you will sit in my house, u'mesazda menichsi, you'll be supported for my estate." Now, he could tell her, you work and you support yourself. But if she's not covering herself, then definitely he has to go ahead and supplement that. That's why for the woman it's going to be a chayv, even in the case of tzimai sedechav mzanesayich, in contrast to the Eved, where it's not going to be a chayv if he gets emancipated because he's not losing anything. Because even if, let's say, which the master could tell him, work for yourself and support yourself, and if it doesn't cover, the master doesn't have to supplement it. He'll have to collect door-to-door anyway. So what am I losing? Let me just be a free man, and I'll be able to do anything what I want to do anyways because I'm supporting myself and I have to collect anyways for my own stuff. That's the difference between the Eved and the Isha. And therefore, there's no raya. The Gemara thought to assume that you'd be able to infer from the halacha of our Mishnah that he doesn't have to feed him, which we thought that meant to say, okay, you could work for me and still I don't have to feed you. And that the Gemara said, no, it could be told him where he can't go that far. He could tell him, work for yourself and support yourself. But again, as we said, the difference between the woman and the slave is regarding the supplementary income. So Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to bring a different raya regarding this question. If the master could go so far to tell the slave, work for me and I'm still not going to feed you. The Brisa says as follows, Eved shekala la'ari miklat, regarding a slave that went into exile into one of the cities of refuge, which is the halacha when someone kills inadvertently another person, so he has to go into exile. So that's what happened with the Eved. By mistake, he killed someone, and he went into Gaulis, into Ari Miklat. So the Brisa says, the halacha is, Ein rabbi chayv lezayne. So the master doesn't have to support him while he's there in the Ari Miklat. Now, v'loyoyt, says the Brisa, not only that, but actually, his earnings go to his master. So the Gemara says, Shema Menach, simply this is a good raya, a proof. Yochel rav loymel Eved, the master could tell the slave, Asei imi, you have to work for me, as we're saying, yes, to send back his earnings back home to his master. Ve'ein izan lechan, I'm not going to feed you. Where we see that's what the Braisa says, he doesn't have to feed him. So I think Mar says, no, hachamai skin, and what we're talking about over here is the amaloi, is where the master is telling him, tzai ma'isi yedecha lemezay nesayich. No, go ahead, use your earnings to support yourself. Although the Braisa is saying he doesn't have to support him, but not because he could take his earnings, he has to support himself with his own earnings. Now the Gemara asks, if that's the case, how do you understand the words of the Brisa that said, Maisi Yadav, Amayla Rabbi, then why is the Brisa saying that his earnings go to the master? Didn't you say that the procedure that we're doing here is that his earnings is to support himself? So the Gemara answers, it's Lahadafa. When we say his earnings go back to his master, it means to say, if let's say he's really raking it in, he's doing a good job, and he's making more than what he needs for his basic needs, that excess, that surplus, that he has to send back home to his master, because Mashakon Eved Kon LaRabbi, whatever the Eved, the slave, makes, goes to his master. Now, his basic needs, that the master has to cover, but he doesn't want to support him, so go ahead and use your own job for that. But the excess goes to the master. Now, the Gemara asks, Hadaf Epshita. Well, that would be pretty obvious that the surplus, as we just described, of course, whatever is more than the basic needs of the servant, goes to the master. So what is the Braisa telling us? So the Gemara says, Ma'udu Teimi, we would have thought to say, Kivan dechi less late, like we just described. Since if the slave wouldn't have any food, lo yavle. We said, the master doesn't have to give him. Go ahead, support yourself. And even if he doesn't have food, go ahead, collect door to door. I don't have to support you. If you're not worth my while, so it's not. I don't have to feed you. So therefore, he would have thought to say, ki islay. So therefore, even when he does have, nami lo lishkol menei, that the master should not be able to take from him even the surplus. Meaning, we would think, look, let the slave hold on to some extra pocket money that he has, because there might come a day that he might not have a job. Not everyone has the security of their job. So even though he's making big now and he's making more than what he needs, but we would think, let him hold on to it, because comes a day when he's not covering, then suddenly the master is not covering his back. So therefore, we would think that he could hold on to it. That's the chiddush of the price. No, this is the facts. The facts are, hadafa goes to the master, and he doesn't have to support him more than what his basic needs are. And if he doesn't want to, he could have him work for himself. Now, although there might come a day when he's not going to be able to cover himself, that's a different day, and that day he'll have to go ahead and collect. Now, the Gemara wonders if that's the interpretation of Maishnola Ori Miklat. So what's the uniqueness of this Braisa? Seemingly, this is the operation that always works. Why is this halacha specifically when he's in the city of refuge? Seemingly, this is a general halacha that anytime he could tell him, look, work for yourself. You don't cover, I don't have to support you. But if you make more, then you have to give it to me. So the Gemara says, no, the chiddush of that is, we would have thought to say, it says in the Pasuk regarding the Ari Miklat, that the one who goes into exile in the city of refuge, it says, V'nos el achas ha'arim ha'el, that he will run to one of these designated cities, v'chai, and that he'll live. So we would think that there's an obligation of providing a livelihood for someone that is in the Ari Miklat. So, you have to give him more. There's an extra stress that requiring a person to be supported when he's in the Ari Miklat. So we would think in that case maybe that the Hadafa doesn't go to the master. Again, as we described, because there might come a day that he's not going to have what to support himself, and we have an obligation to provide for him. And that's the Chiddush that we say that no. Even though he's in the Ari Miklat, the relation between the Eved and the master is as such that he doesn't have to supplement him, but yet his hadafa, his surplus, goes to the master. Now the Gemara wonders regarding this interpretation that we're giving that won't support what we wanted to support from this braisa regarding this halacha of kriseya se'imi ve'nizanach. The Gemara says, "Bavah menigtani sefer." But let's look at the end of this braisa. The braisa says, "Tells regarding a slave," but says the braisa of al-isha shagol silari mikla, but regarding a wife that gets exiled to a city of refuge. Then says the Braisa, Baila Chayv B'mezainasel. Then the husband has to provide for her sustenance. So the inference of the Gemara is Mechlal Deloy Amarla. Obviously, he's not telling her, Tzi Maisi Dechav B'mezainasel. When his wife goes over to that Ari Miklat, he's not telling her, look, work for yourself and provide for yourself. Because the Amarla, because if that was the case, conceptualization that he was telling her, work for yourself, well, then Baila Maichayev, then why would the husband have to support his wife? As we mentioned before, the corollary why he has to support her is only because he's getting her earnings. As there's many different halachas in the relationship between the husband and wife, what she's giving to him, and therefore he has to give back. But he could tell her, support yourself. So obviously he's told him that he's not telling her that. And therefore, whatever she would make, let's say, would be going to him. That's why he has to support her. Well, then the Gemara asks, Umad the Seifa de Loyam Allah, so if the Seifa, which again, seemingly there's a parallel in the Braisa when it's talking about two different cases, as if they're talking about the same type of a case. If the Sefer, what the woman is talking about, where he doesn't tell her, provide for yourself with your earnings, for your own sustenance, so then Reisha Namad Olam Alay. So similarly, the Reisha of the Eved would also be talking about such a case. Now the difficulty is, that would support then what we wanted to support, that okay, it would seemingly sound like that he's not telling him to support himself. Rather, his earnings, all of it is going to the master, and still he could tell him, I don't want to support you. That would seemingly support Aseimi Venezanach, but we were saying before that no, he's telling him, do your own work and support yourself. But if that was the case, then why by the case of the woman can't he do the same thing? Why by the woman does he have to support her when she's in the Ari Miklat? Something more says, no, it's not a raya. La'ilam da'amale. Truth is, like we said before, and that's why it's no raya from this braisa regarding this halacha of saying, work for me and still I'm not going to support you, because he's telling him, work for yourself and support yourself. Now, v'isha b'dalei safka. However, the case of the woman is similar, like we said in the previous interpretation, that it's not going to be a raya, is by the woman, yes, he's also telling her, support yourself. but he still has to support her. How so? When whatever the job she's working is not covering our basic needs. So again, as we said before, that's the difference between the woman and the slave. When there's not enough, the supplemental is only by the woman, and therefore that's why the obligation is to feed an Ari Miklat, but not by the Evid. Now, but the Gemara still asks on this. But look at the end of that Brisa, even further. It says, but Ve'im Amar Lo, but if he tells his wife, although the Brisa just said he has to feed her, but the Brisa says, but if he tells her, but you know what? You know, take a job and support yourself, then Rishoy, says the Brisa, that he's permitted to do. Ask the Gemara, Machlad the Resha Dloyamalos, obviously the Resha, which says that he has to feed her, is not talking about such a case when he tells her to feed herself with her own support, and it's just talking about the supplemental that he has to feed her. Seemingly that he's not telling her this at all. And if that's the case, then we're back to the question again. So if the Sefer is not talking about Tzi my Sedecha Mitzvah Nesach, so seemingly the Resha is also not talking about that. And if that's the case, then it should be a Raya that he could tell him, to his slave, work for me, and I'm still not going to support you. So the Gemara says no. This is what the Brisa is saying. Ve'im misapekes, meaning, the first part of the case by the woman was talking about when it's not enough. The supplemental is not there. So therefore, that's what it's saying. He has to support her. He's telling her, Tz'imai sedechem is in the sech. But it's not covering. So therefore, that's what's saying, it's chayv lezon, he has to feed her because he has to supplement. Now, that's what the Brisa then continues. Ve'im misapekes, and if her job that she would take there in the Ari Miklat would be enough to cover her needs, then, and va'amar lo, and he tells her this, which is the same thing as the Brisa was saying in the previous category, that you know what, go ahead, you know, there's a job there that you could take that could cover your needs, then Rashai, that he's allowed to do, and therefore again, they're all talking about when he's using this mechanism of, and therefore again, there's no proof. Now the Gemara wonders, if that's what the end of that case by the woman is talking about, when it's going to be enough, so then what's the chiddush? We know that a husband can tell a wife, support yourself, and if it covers, it covers. So the Gemara says, no, Madu Temi, we would have thought to say, as the Pasuk in Tehillim says, Kol Kavuda Bas Melech, that the entire dignity of the daughter of the king, of the princess, which every Jewish person is a Ben Melech, he's a prince, and so too for the Jewish woman, she's a princess, is as the Pasuk says, Penima, is inside, is modest, that it's not, the princess doesn't just go around prancing around, out around the city. And moreover, we're talking about that the woman's in the Ari Miklat. She's in a city where people don't know her. They don't know to bring work to her in her house. So we would have thought to say that actually, even if she could get a job there in the Ari Miklat, that would provide for her basics, that still the husband cannot tell her that because she's a princess. A princess doesn't go around prancing around trying to find jobs. Maybe she'll work at home, but to go around or even a place where she knows she can go, but here she has to go around and that no one recognizes her and it's going to be something that it's degrading. That's the chiddush to know. Even though she's going to have to go around, this might be a challenge for her to find a job because she's in the city that she was never in. She's in the Ir Miklat, the city of refuge. Still, she has to do that, and you could tell her, see my sidecha b'mesenesecha, if it's going to cover her basic needs. So again, there's no raya regarding this question. We were trying to prove if a master could tell his slave, look, you work for me, and I'm still not going to feed you. But now the Gemara says, lema, let's say this halacha is actually ketanoi. Let's say it's a machlekes tanoi. How so? Because the Brisa says as follows. Here, b'shimim b'gamli lo'imer, he says, yochel ha'eved lo'ima l'rabba b'shnei b'tzeres. A slave could tell his master in a famine year, oy par naseini, oy ha'tzien l'cheres. Look, either support me or let me go free. Because people are starving over here. And you got to support me or let me go free. Let me do what I got to do. The chachamayim, they disagree. They say, no, harishus b'yad rabbi. The choice is in the master's hand. He doesn't have to put up with this ultimatum of the slave. He could decide what to do. So the Gemara says, "My lab b'hakim mefliki." Isn't this what they're arguing about regarding the question that we had all along? Demar savar that the chacham held that yachil, that the master could say, "No, work for me, and I'm not going to support you." So though it's a famine year and he's not supporting him, he could still make him work for him. Whereas Umar savar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel held that any yachil, no, he can't do that. You could only make the slave work for you if you're going to support him. Now, it's a famine and he's not supporting him, so therefore he's telling him, look, you either got to let me go free, or you got to support me. But you can't do both. So seemingly, that's the machlokes tanoim. So the Gemara says, no, but Tisbra, is that logical to say that the case that they're talking about is when the master is telling him, asei imi, that you should work for me? But on that, the Gemara asks, Would that really be fit in what the wording of Reb Shimon Gamliel is, that the slave could tell him, either feed me or let me go free? Then that wouldn't be the appropriate phrase that he should be telling the master. Rather, his wording should have been, look, either support me or at least give me the support of my own earnings. In other words, if that's the concept that we're talking about, where the master telling Aseimi, work for me, and meaning that this slave is making some money, but he's giving it to the master, and you want to say Reb Shimon Gamliel that what they're debating about, could he still not feed him? Well, then why is he saying the other option is, besides feed me, is to let me go free? It shouldn't be let me go free. It should be, rather, give me the support of my own earnings. And therefore, seemingly, it's not talking about when he's making earnings and that's what's going to the master. Rather, there's no money that he's making. And then the question is, could he just ask him to have to feed him or not? Now, that's a challenge in its own right. Why should he have to feed him? As we said before, he doesn't have to feed him, and that's part of the question. Now, void, moreover, is that Maishna Mishnei B'tzayis. Now, why would the whole discussion, this Machlokes, be talking about by a famine year when there's a hunger, even in a regular year? Since he could tell him, Aseimi, that would also classify, actually, as a Shnei B'tzayis for the slave, because it's always going to be a famine year for the slave. He'll never have food anyway, because whatever he works goes to the master, and the master doesn't have to feed him. So why would this necessarily be by a famine? So rather, the Gemara says, there's no proof from this machlokes. Actually, Elohocha Ma'eskin, what are we talking about over here? The Amar Lei, where the master tells him, Tzei Ma'isi Yedecha L'mezon Yasecha. Go ahead, work for yourself and support yourself. Now, U'b'shnei B'tzoris Lei Sipik. Now, but what we're talking about is that since the famine year, he's not able to make ends meet. Yeah, he's going out looking for a job, but he can't cover it for himself. Now, although he said generally, when he can't cover himself, it's tough luck, go ahead, go knock on doors, and I don't have to feed you because you're not worth my while. So Reb Shimon Gamliel Sava, he holds, he says here it's different. Here the slave could say it to the master, look, either you supplement me, you support me, or you let me go free. Why? Because by famine year it's different. Let people see me and have mercy on me. Because if I'm a free man, if I'm a slave, they say, look, the master's got to take care of him. But here, it's a famine year, people are starving, and there's a regular free man, so they'll have mercy on me, they'll support me. So therefore, Reb Shimon Gamliel says he could give the ultimatum to the master. Look, either support me, or let me go free. Rabban Sarva, they say that, no. Manda merachem abnei chari, whoever's going to have mercy on a free man, ha'evin nami ruchem merachem, will also have mercy on the slave. And the reason being is because he has the same status on some level as a free man, because a slave is obligated in the same mitzvahs as an isha, which is basically all the mitzvahs that, I mean, there are those that are not. There's mitzvahs such as magrama. There are differences, but he's doing all the mitzvahs, and therefore he's like a very regular Jew in that sense, and therefore they'll have mercy on him just like they'll have mercy on a free man. And therefore, there's no reason to give the ultimatum. Look, I don't have to support you. I know it's a famine year, but go ahead, go knock on doors, and people will support you. And again, therefore, there's no raya from this machlokes tanoim regarding the concept of aseimi ve'inizanach. So the Gemara continues trying to bring a raya now from Amayram. Tashima, let's bring a raya, because the Amar Rav said the following halacha. He said, Hamakdish yidei avdo, if someone sanctifies the hands of a slave, meaning the earnings, whatever the slave is going to be doing, which is always called the ma'is yadayim, it's the actions of the hands, that's what people generally do when they create things. So he says, whatever my slave is going to make, goes to Hekdish, goes to Hashem. So the halacha is, Oiso ha'eved, love of ha'eichel. So what does the slave do? He borrows money, meaning to support himself, and then he eats, meaning he eats from what he borrowed from other people, because whatever he's earning actually is going straight to Hekdish, so he can't use that. So what does he do? How does he support himself? So he borrows money from other people, he consumes that. Then he does work, and from the work that he makes, then he goes ahead and he pays back the loans that he took from other people. Now, as Rashi explains, he can't first work. And the reason being is because every coin, every pruta, every little amount of money that he makes automatically will become hektish. And then that's forbidden. It goes straight to hektish. Rather, what he has to do is that he first borrows and he eats that food. Then he works and he makes less than a shava pruta at a time. And that is what he goes ahead and he pays that back to the lenders, as the Gemara will shortly explain. Now, the assumption right now is that we're talking about that the master is not feeding him. Now, and still we're saying in the halacha of the Braisa, I mean, obviously he's not feeding him because, at least that's what it would seem like, because or else he wouldn't have to borrow money to eat. So the master's not feeding him, and yet still we're saying whatever that the master was able to sanctify and be makdish all the earnings of the slave to hekdish. Says the Gemara, Shema Mino, you can infer from Rav's halacha, Yochel, Rav loy mele'eved, that the master could tell the servant, Aseimi, work for me. Meaning, I could take your earnings and do whatever I want with it. I can be makdish it. It's mine. I'm not going to feed you. And because of that, the Eved has to do this type of operation of first borrowing and then the earnings, less than the Shavu Pruta before it gets to Hektish, could be used to pay back. So, but similarly, he could do this Aseimi Venizanach. So I think Mara says, no, Hachamai Eskin, what are we talking about over here in the Brian? Says, B'malloi Mazainas, when the master is feeding him. And that's why he could be Makadish Maisi Daim. If he's feeding him, then as we continue on Temet Beis, my love of Eichel, and why is he borrowing to eat? Why do you have to borrow to eat? You're being fed from your master. So the Gemara says, no, lahadafa. What would he be borrowing money for? Is for excess food, more than what his basics are, which the master doesn't have to feed him. For that is what he can borrow, and then the earnings will be going to the people he borrowed from and not to Hektish. The Gemara says, what do you mean? If that's the case, if it's for excess, he wants more than the basics, v'leim alei Hektish, but let Hektish tell the Eved, who in some regard are like the Bailam now of his Maisi Daim, they own it, just like a master owns his Maisi Daim. The master was Makdash it to Hektish, they should tell the servant, what do you mean? Ad hashta sagilach b'loi hadafa, up until now, meaning with the obligations that the master had to feed you, it was enough for you without excess. V'hashta nami tiskelach b'loi hadafa, so now also should be enough for you without hadafa. So in other words, why are we condoning, why are we allowing this procedure? In other words, as we said before, it, as the Gemara will shortly explain also, he definitely can't first take his Ma'aseh Daim and use that, because right away that's going to go to Hektish. But the other way around, which he first borrows, so he has creditors, then less than the Shavu Pruta at a time, then they could go to the creditors. But still, who allows that? What does that mean? How can you use your Ma'aseh Daim to pay up the creditors? Your Ma'aseh Daim are owned by Hektish. Why does Hektish condone this procedure of allowing him to pay back the creditors for excess food? You don't need that excess. So the Gemara actually says, Hektish gufei nichle. No, Hektish actually, meaning when we say Hektish, mean the temple treasury, those who own his Ma'aseh Daim, those are the shlichim of Hashem's assets in that regard of L'shem Shemayim, they prefer that he actually feed himself excess food. Why? Ki hechet l'shpech abde. So that this Eved, the slave, is robust, he's healthy. And if he needs extra food and he's feeding himself, so Hektish is okay with that, and therefore you can go ahead and do that procedure. So the Gemara wonders, wait a second, but how does it work? Eiso perei. We said, okay, so he works and he pays back. Question is, kama kama kodeshle. What do you mean? We know for sure that he can't first earn and then buy, because those earnings are for sure going to Hektish. So we said, okay, no, don't do it that way. First borrow, have creditors that you could consume, and then pay back. But the problem is, how could you pay that money back? It right away becomes Hektish. So the Gemara says, no, but pachis b'shavu pruta. We're talking about that you get paid that or that you quantify the earnings for less than a pruta, and then you automatically pay back before it combines with more work to create the worth of a pruta. And Hektish is not chal, doesn't take effect unless in the shavu pruta. So the Gemara says, actually, hachanam mistabe. The way we just described this halach of Rav, that we're actually talking about, that there's no raya that Rav saying Aseimi v'nizanach. Actually, rather that it's the master is feeding him, and that's why he could be makdish in Ma'aseh Daim. It's only that it's the excess that he's borrowing to eat for. The proof of this would be is because the Amar Rav, like Rav says himself in another halacha, that Rav said as follows: He said Hamakdish idei avdei. Someone sanctifies the earnings of his slave. So, Isa Eved, Isa Vaichel. Here he says it differently, seemingly the same type of a case. As a slave, what he does is he earns and he consumes his own earning. And why, says Rav? Because the Eloi Avda, because if the slave himself doesn't do this, then man polichle, then who's going to work for him? In other words, how is he going to eat? No one's preparing for him food. So, what he does is that although the Eved, the master was Makdish, is Ma'aseh Daim, but so what he does is that he earns and he eats what he has to eat. The Gemara says, if you say, like, regarding the previous halach of Rav that we had from Amud Aleph, that Rav said that the Hekdish does take effect, that what would that be talking about? Bimala. That would be talking about, oh, you know why Hekdesh Shlita takes effect, as we explained, because actually the master is giving mezainis, is feeding the slave. And ve'ena yachal, and the master cannot tell the slave, asei imi ve'enezanech, like we rejected. We thought we could prove from them. We said that no, and we're saying it actually makes sense the way we rejected, that he cannot tell him asei imi ve'enezanech. Now, whereas Vaha, and the second statement of Rav that says that Hekdesh is not taking effect, because we see that he's earning and he's feeding himself with what he's earning, is b'she'ena mala, is talking about where the master is not giving him mezainis. And therefore, if he's not giving him mezainis, he cannot tell him what to do with his ma'aseh daim. And therefore, it's not Hekdesh. So shapir, so that would be a good resolution for those two statements of Rav. But Eli'i amr hach, but if you say that the first statement of Rav is talking about, as we had assumed when we tried to bring a raya from Rav, is b'she'ena malam, is talking about where the master is not feeding him, and still Hekdesh will take effect, because v'yachol, because the master could tell to the slave, asei imi, let me take your earnings, let me be makdashed, v'enezanach, I'm not going to feed you. Well, then it's difficult. How do we understand the second statement of Rav then? De'iloi avdem man polichle? Like Rav said in the second statement, oh, because if the slave doesn't work for himself, who's going to work for him? What do you mean? Mandapoy nevlechei, whoever wants to work for him, meaning it's like a phrase, meaning what do you mean? Who cares? He doesn't, we could tell him things like that. We could tell him, give us your earnings and we're not going to feed you anyway. So why is Rav saying that if the master was makdash the ma'aseh daim of the Eved, that, you know, the Eved can still take his earnings and feed himself, because who's going to feed him? What do you mean who's going to feed him? No one has to feed him. We could do that to him. No, Rav, the Gemara says, what you can infer from this is that ain't yachal shmamina. That actually, to the contrary, Rav clearly holds, and that's what we see from both of his statements, that the master cannot tell the Eved asei imi ve'nizanach, and that's why from the second statement of Rav, it's actually clear that even though he's makdash to ma'aseh daim, since he's not feeding him, the Eved doesn't have to give his ma'aseh daim to Hekdesh, he could use it for his own sustenance. So again, that's the proof from Rav that the master cannot do that. But, says the Gemara Tashma, we can infer that actually there's another Amayra that disagrees with Rav and holds that the master could tell the slave, asei imi ve'nizanach. And that is the Amr B'yechanan, like we see Rabbi Yechanan says. Yechanan says the following halacha. It says, "Hakiteya yad avdi shechaver." If someone chops off the hand of his friend's slave, so the halacha is as when any time someone damages another person, there's halacha of five different types of damages that are incumbent upon the damager to compensate the one that was harmed. Now, however, in this case, it's going to be different because a slave is owned by his master. So therefore, says Rabbi Yechanan, "Noisin shiftei," the mazik, the one who harmed the person, has to give what's called schar batala, the amount of work that's being lost by that person during his illness. Now, although he really paid him what's called nezik, which is the value of the hand that he lost forever that he can't use, but still, when he's ill and he's not working, we at least look at him as what's called a shemek yeshuan, like someone that could just guard melons or cucumbers, he could watch certain things, where that he could, even when he gets out of the illness that he had because his hand was chopped off, he'll be able to do that type of a job. And you don't need to have your hands for that. So that type of a job, what he's losing in the interim, he gives that money. And for us, regarding the medical and the therapeutic things, that he has to pay for also. And that he gives l'rabbi, to the master, which later on the Gemara is going to ask, what do you mean? What does it mean he gives it to the master? He gives it to the slave to pay the doctor, meaning he's got to get healed. So that healing goes to heal the slave. What does it mean that it goes to the master? That the Gemara is going to shortly address. But Rashi just points out that there are obviously other elements over here, like we mentioned before, that of Nezek, and there's that of Tsar, that also is paid to the masters. And Baishas is discussed elsewhere regarding that element. But regarding Nezek, the reason why it's not mentioned is because obviously that's the payment of the value of the hand that's lost now. That for sure goes to the master. And therefore, Rabbi Yechanan didn't have to mention that because that's causing a loss of something that's his acquisition. Now, moreover, the reason why I didn't have to mention the pain element that was inflicted on this Eved is because that's actually included in one of the halachas that Rabbi Yechanan did mention regarding the refuah. As the Gemara will shortly explain, that a person could take a stronger medical treatment which causes more pain, and that differential is going to go to the master. So although there's more pain, that pain, as we're seeing from that extra money of the refu that's being saved, because you're taking a stronger procedure that will save money, that goes to the master. So you see that tsar, which that's under the rubric there from refuah, which actually there's the tzar of the actual infliction of the wound too, but that we see the tzar is included in refuah, so therefore old tzar didn't have to be mentioned, that goes to the master. Now, so therefore we're saying that these things go to the master. Va'isa eved nizim min atzdaka, says Rabbi Yechanan, and that slave, he gets provided for from charity. So, says the Gemara, Shema mina, what we could infer from this, from the fact that Rabbi Yechanan says that all the earnings and all the damages go to the master, and still the slave gets fed from charity. So you can infer that Yachal Rav Loim Le'eved, that Rabbi Yechanan holds, that the master could tell the slave, Aseimi, you work for me. Whatever you're earning, whatever you get from this damage, the Sheves, Nezik, Ripui, Tsar, all that goes to me. Vein is alach, I'm not going to feed you. Because we see he's not feeding him, he's getting provided for by charity. So the Gemara says, no, Hachamai Skin, what would he tell him over here? But Ma'alem Azainus, where he's feeding him. And since he's feeding him, that's why he gets all his earnings. But if he wasn't feeding him, then he wouldn't be able to take his earnings. If that's the case, Amai Nizim and Atzdaka. Then why is the Brisas, why is Rabbi Yechanan saying that he's getting fed from charity? His master is already feeding him. So the Gemara explains, Lahadafa. Means to say, excess. In other words, since he's sick, he has to be provided for more than a regular type of a person. Now, there's a need for an increase of mezainis that the master doesn't have to do beyond the norm. If he's taking the earnings, meaning what he's getting because of damages, he has to feed him. He's feeding him. But there's an excess now because he's sick. That is going to be from charity. Now, if that would be the case, well, then nizain, then using the terminology that Rabbi Yechanan said was that he's nizin min atzdaka, nizin sounds like the basic sustenance. It shouldn't say nizin. Misparnas mi bayli, then it should have said the word parnasa. Parnasa connotes all the other needs that are necessary. Mizayin, it sounds like your basic needs. Now, that is being provided for by the master. If you're saying it's in reference to hadafa, then Rabbi Yechanan should have used the terminology of parnasa. Adalav, rather, the Gemara concludes, Shemamin, you could infer that yachal, that the master could tell the slave, Aseimi, you work for me, whatever you make damages or by working goes to me. That obviously we can infer from Rabbi Yechanan that he disagrees with Rav. Rav holds the master cannot say Aseimi Vein Izanach, but Rabbi Yechanan holds that he could take all his earnings until his basic nizan, basic mezainis, he would have to go ahead and collect from charity. So it's machlokes amira. Now the Gemara goes back, and as we alluded to this point before, that Amamar, Rabbi Yechanan said that Noisin shifted refuas l'rabbi, that he gives the loss of work and the medical, he gives that to the master. So the Gemara shifted pshita. Why did Rabbi Yechanan have to mention that? As we said, he doesn't mention nezik because it's obvious that the damages of the actual hand, which is the loss of the property of the master, goes to the master. Why does he have to mention the loss of work? Who else is he going to? As we said that his earnings go to the master. Now, as Rashi points out, if you would think it's coming to tell us this idea that, yeah, it's going to go, the Sheves is going to go to the master, I mean, the loss of earnings is going to go to him, even though he's not feeding him, and it's coming to teach this halacha, which we said Rabbi Yechanan holds, that he could tell him, Aseimi v'nizanach, well then, it should have just said, whoever needs him and that's stuck. It should have just said, the slave gets provided for by charity. And don't say anything else. Well, then we would understand that the Sheves is going to the master. Why do we have to point out this idea that the Sheves is, because if he's getting Sheves, then he doesn't have to get charity. If he's getting charity, obviously because he has no money. So obviously we know the Sheves is going to the master. Why do we have to point out that the Sheves goes to the master? So the Gemara says, you're right, that we didn't have to point out. That was pretty obvious because the Maisei Daim go to the master, and even if we wanted to point out that he can get it even though he doesn't have to feed him, so we should have just said that he gets from Tzedakah. But rather, before us, it was the other halacha, which was the necessary one that was coming to me in the Chaddish, regarding the medical, that goes to the master. Now, the Gemara wonders, Refuasai, the healing, didehi, it's the slaves, debayitzuibe, he has to use that to heal himself. What does that mean? The whole point of one of the five damages that are paid is refuah is that you have to make the guy get better. So how could it go to the master? It has to go to the doctor or whoever it is that's healing the slave. So the Gemara says, no, loy tzricha, what we're talking about over here is da'amdu l'cham shayyame. He was originally evaluated that he's going to have to pay for 5 days' worth of doctor bills. Now, but v'avdu le'samach harifa, what they did for him was they gave him an extra strong potion, medicine, v'itzibit l'asayyame, and therefore he was healed in 3 days. Now, ma'adu temi, we would have thought to say, tzara di dehu, that this pain, in other words, that he he could have done the easier procedure of 5 days, but he went for the more rigorous and wearing, painful treatment that takes 3 days. So we would have thought to say that we would not give to the master. Although tsar goes to the master, but here it's really his own tsar, because really refuah goes to him. But he chose to elect and use something that's going to be more painful, but to save money. So maybe that, like refuah goes to him, so too the tsar would go to him. Kamash malan. That's the chiddush that was saying that no, any gain that comes through the slave, the master gains, just like his ox, just like his donkey, it doesn't make a difference. That goes to the master, and therefore, even in such a situation where he's opting to do the more painful one, and therefore he's making a more increase of money, that doesn't go to him, it goes to the master. That's the chiddush inherent that we said, that's why tsar didn't have to be mentioned, because it's included in this case of refuah. We were saying that extra refuah, which is being saved, is going to the master, not to the slave. So the Gemara continues now, and goes back to the Mishnah, regarding that we had this machlekes, Rav Meir and the Chacham, and elaborates on this machlekes. Tanya Lutna Braisa. Amar Belazar, Belazar says, Amarnu loy le Meir, we said to Meir, and Rashi says because he was their colleague, so they didn't call him Reb Meir. They said to Reb Meir, V'haloy schus hu le'eved, but isn't it a merit for the slave? She'yitze mitachas yidei rabbi l'cheris, he's getting out free from his master. So therefore, we disagree with you. Why would you say that the master could retract? He shouldn't be able to retract. The shlich should have already been able to be zeichen it, because you could be zeichen l'od m'shleib b'fanav. So Amalan, the Surah Meir said to us, no, it's a liability for the slave. You can't go ahead and merit it for him without his acquiescence. Because Shem Hoya Eved Kayin, and this is like what the Meir says in the Mishnah, because if he would be the slave of a Kayin, place him in a Truma, you would be invalidating him from Truma. So he's not going to be able to have Truma anymore. So it's a liability. You can't say, Zchus La'ad M'shleib B'fanav. So therefore the master could retract if the Shlich didn't get to the slave yet. Now, Sedra B'laza, Marnuli, we said to him, what do you mean? But let's say the master wouldn't want to support him, wouldn't want to provide his sustenance. Rishoy, he would be permitted to. So it comes out that he's not losing anything when he's getting freed, because what did you have up until now? What did your master do for you that you're losing? He gave you food? He doesn't have to. So therefore you're not really losing anything. So Amar Lonis, the mayor said to us, no. Uma ilu ebed kain shabarach, if you find by the slave of a kain, if let's say he flees, or the Ashes Kayan Shamar Dabai, or let's say the wife of a Kayan, who she rebels from her husband and she's out of here. Halo Ichl Mitruma, they still eat from Truma until they're divorced. Vizeino Ichl. Now the problem is what you're doing is if you're gonna allow the Shliach to be Zeichen for the Eved, he's gonna be losing that. He's not gonna be able to eat Truma anymore. Therefore it may held that it's a chayv. So that the Rabbanan responded to that statement of Remeir, they said, Avil, you're right. Regarding that, we agree to you that isha chayv hula. For a woman, it's a liability. She came pasam on the truma, right, because then he would be invalidating her, making her, disqualifying her from having truma anymore, because only when you're married to a kain, even though you're not a kainas, can you have. Umafsidim and the mazayin, and moreover, as we agree to, she's actually losing sustenance. We're all on agreement in that. But we disagree with you regarding the slave. That's the end of the brisa. Now the Gemara wonders, my ka'amru lay, what did they tell him? And what did he respond to them? In other words, what response did he respond to them when he said, in the second round of discussion, he said, well, what about a slave of a Kayan that flees? What type of response is that to what they had told him regarding Mezainis? They told him there's no loss. It's all schos, all merit, because it doesn't have to feed them. What was his response? His response was, oh, what's with an Eved Kayan Shabbarach? And what about it? You're right, the Eved Kayan Shabbarach would still eat Truma. And you're right, when he becomes Meshuchar, he doesn't. But again, it doesn't have to feed him at all. So he's not losing anything. So what's that? What are they telling him, and what's his response? So then the Gemara says, Hacha Gamalu, this is what he was telling to them. He says, Hashavtuni al ha-mezaynis. He says that, you're right. You responded to me regarding sustenance, that he doesn't have to feed him from his own food. I get that. And regarding that, it wouldn't be a chayv. But ma tishivuni ala truma, what Remei was telling them was, but what are you going to respond to me regarding truma? And the reason being is because as long as he doesn't free them, the slave could go ahead and consume truma wherever he is. In other words, not being provided for by his master, he can go into any granary and he could eat truma because he's a slave of a kain. So what are you going to respond regarding that? That's a chayv. Now, on that, Remei was addressing and saying, now, v'chitem, and if you're going to say that, no, that the receipt of the shliach, of this get, is not a liability because de'ibayi, because if the master wants to, says Remeya, he's addressing their concerns, he's troubleshooting, would be zarek legita. What do you mean? The master could go ahead and throw get to the Eved in Rosh Hashanah within the Eved's four Amas, upasale, and he'll disqualify him anyway because now he'll free him against his will. So therefore, maybe you're going to tell me, what do you mean? Eved kain shebarach, that he's still going to be able to eat truma, now he's losing when he's getting the get. On that, you would tell me, what do you mean? He's not losing because anyway, he could forcefully give him the get. And that, says Remeya, that's not a proof because shavakle. I'll tell you, the slave would leave right away and he wouldn't allow the ability, the feasibility of the master to have to disqualify him by throwing him a get. And actually, va'arik va'azlama, and he'll escape and he'll go away and he'll continue eating truma because the master is not going to be able to get to him. He's going to avoid receiving the get. So therefore, and that's what he's responding to with this concept where you would tell me that, no, what do you mean? It's not a problem with the shliach being makabel for him because it is a schus. Because what are you talking about? Truma? Truma, the master could give him the get and disqualify him. He's saying not true because the eved could continue avoiding and he could continue eating truma as long as he keeps on escaping and avoiding the master. So therefore, as we continue to talk about Yadil and Madalaf, he says, ilu eved kain shabar, if we find regarding the slave of a kain who flees over Eshes kain shamar dal ba'ilu, or the wife of a kain that rebels, they continue eating truma. And now this is the point of Remeir, Bezeh, but this Eved, once you're going to be Meshacher him, you're going to free him, you're going to emancipate him, Eina Eichel, he can't eat it anymore. So that's a chayiv, that the Shliach, to be Zeichened for the Eved, because at least the Eved, if he wants to continue eating Truma, which is more accessible, because only that many Kahanim, and he can get around and eat that, now that's creating a liability. So the Gemara 1, the Shapir Kamalu, similarly Remeir, had a good response to the Chacham. What would they say to that Taina, that at least regarding Truma, it's a liability, because at least he could avoid receiving the get, and as long as he doesn't, he didn't fulfill the halacha of giving it to the Eved, and he's not emancipated, and he's still an Eved Kain. So Amar Rabba says, now we understand, as we alluded to this in the Mishnah, what was the response of the Chacham to Remeir? And that is, what they were telling him, that they were responding and saying, yes, why do you think an Eved Kain that flees could continue eating Truma? That is only Mimnei Shehu Kinyani. These are the words that they said in the Mishnah, which we didn't really understand how they were addressing what Remeir's response was, which we asked in the Gemara right now. Seemingly Remeir had a good point. So that the Chacham said, oh, it's because that he's his acquisition, he's his kinyan. Now, what that means now is because of that, the ibayi, if that kain wants to, when his slave flees, you know what he could do? Shakal arba zuzim Yisrael. He could take four coins from a non-kain, from a Yisrael, and he could actually sell the Eved to that Yisrael, wherever the Eved is. And then he won't be any more the kinyan of his master, who is a kain. And he could disqualify him wherever he is. So therefore, what are you talking about, Remeir? You're saying it's a chay because he could avoid and evade? What are you talking about? The master that's a kain can sell him any second he wants to, and he'll disqualify him that way. So therefore, there is no chay in the shliach. Therefore, that was the response that the Chacham gave to Remeir in the Mishnah. That's why they disagree with him, and they hold that it is a total schus, and therefore the shliach could be mezake in it for the Eved. And therefore, they disagree, and they hold that the Baal, the Odin, cannot retract when it comes to the Eved. Now, the Gemara concludes this discussion by saying, Remeir, according to Remeir, so Tenech Eved Kain, we could understand at least regarding his response when it's the slave of a kain. Because he said it's a chayv, he disagrees with this concept that the master will just sell him to someone else. So therefore, and he could avoid and evade getting the get shechur. But that works for Eved Kain. Eved Yisrael Ma'ikel Meir, what are you going to say about the slave of a non-kain? Why does Remeir say in the Mishnah that he could always retract by a slave, seemingly only by Eved Kain? Because there's the element of Truma. As we said, he doesn't have to feed him. So what, you're saying about Truma? But this guy's not a kain. So Amar Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak, he says that Remeir would hold the same thing would apply even by a non-kain master for a different reason. Because now that he's going to be emancipated, he cannot cohabit anymore with the non-Jewish, with the maidservants, which he was allowed to as an Eved Kanani. So that is a liability, which now he can't do that anymore. And therefore, it's a chayv, and therefore he could retract even by the non-kain master. Now the Gemara 1 is adrabah, to the contrary. Hare matir bevascharin. What are you talking about? He's permitting the Evan now to marry a Jewish woman, a free woman. So that's actually an upgrade. So why is that considered a loss? So I think Moran says, no, avda befker nichle. A slave prefers things that are hefker, things that are, there's no boundaries, these are things that are zilale, that are degrading, that he could do all his heart's desires with this woman. Shchichle, they're more easily to acquire, and pritzle, and they'll do all the immoral, unabashed acts that he wants to do. Therefore, actually for an eved, yeah, for a regular person, of course, a bascharin is more preferred, and therefore it actually would be yischus. But again, Remeya holds that it's going to be a chayv, because an eved prefers to have things that are hefker, and that's by a shefcha kananis, and therefore that's going to be a liability. And therefore Remeya disagrees, and the chacham, he says that by an eved, it's always going to be a chayv, just like by a woman, and therefore he held that you could retract, not only by a woman, but even by the get shichur of an eved kanani.